At this point, let's spend a couple minutes to go through our 7 ALK coronary indications. We'll also spend some time talking about the different lesion morphologies and the difficulties about handling these morphologies and how ALK can make a positive impact in these disease types. First, we have our CTOs that are traversable with a guide wire. I just want to point out here that in the coronary scenarios, we do not want to advertise doing step-by-step. So in CTOs, don't even mention it, don't support it, don't promote it. We don't want to be promoting step-by-step using the ALK catheter in coronary CTO cases. CTOs, however, account for about 1/3 of all coronary cases these days. They're very difficult to treat, and even if you treat them minimally invasively, the outcome is not always the best. CTOs are very prone to restenosing and distal embolizations, and just in general, the outcomes, the MACE rates of CTO cases are not quite optimized. So with our ALK catheters, you can go in there and debulk, modify the lesion at the molecular level, and make that lesion more amenable to ballooning and stenting so that your physician can make sure there's the optimum outcome for stenting, for stent apposition, and this helps to reduce MACE rates in the future, to reduce instant restenosis, and also distal embolization. Next up is instant restenosis, ISR in bare metal stents. There's a lot of clinical data supporting this. There is the Miron data and the Dawn data, and both of these studies show that when you use laser and ballooning together, you get better outcomes compared to ballooning alone, which is not really surprising, and this is really consistent with the previous outcome data on ISR. With the era of bare metal stents behind us, we have more than 100,000 ISR cases in the US alone, and this is growing, so this is going to be a huge area of focus. Laser can be very effective and very helpful in instant restenosis cases. In fact, laser atherectomy is the only coronary atherectomy method that has an ISR indication. In fact, laser atherectomy is the only coronary atherectomy tool that is indicated for ISR. CSI is not, rotablator is not. A laser is the only tool that has been proven to be safe and effective in treating ISRs. Occluded saphenous vein graft is another indication. The difficulty in these SVG cases is that is to deliver that filter wire and distal embolization. So what you can do here is to use ALK to debulk and vaporize that occluded morphology so that you can get your filter wire through. And once that filter wire is through that vein graft, you can lace back over it to further debulk and further vaporize that occluded material. Oftentimes, the SVGs are very pliable in nature. Physicians are very conservative about using high-pressure ballooning in these cases, so using ALK to debulk prior to ballooning can help physicians achieve that lower pressure that they desire to balloon up and open up the occluded grafts. Moderately calcified lesions is probably one of the more commonly seen indications for ALK for coronary atherectomy. This is where the laser will work to, for the lack of a better word, soften that moderately calcified plaque burden and make it more amenable for the balloon and stent to work to the fullest extent. Failed PTCA. This is probably the most popular indication for using the ALK coronary atherectomy method. This is when your physician is unable to get a balloon or a stent across that lesion. And what I like about it is that when that balloon doesn't cross, you really don't have much of an option here. What the physician might do is the patient can go on surgery, then could continue with their medication. But in reality, if this patient has, say, a single mid-LAD stenosis, they really need that artery opened. So with the laser and the ALK catheter, you can go in there and really modify that lesion morphology and facilitate a successful PTCA. At the end of the case, you don't need to show the doctor a 3,000 patient study showing you the outcome of using laser. You had a failed balloon angioplasty case, laser debulked the lesion morphology and changed the morphology so that the case was subsequently successful. And really, that's the end of the story. Osteolesions. These are typically very difficult lesions to treat because in nature they're oftentimes fibrocalcific, which makes them not very responsive to ballooning or stenting. Precise sizing and placement of the stent is really important here. So a lot of the times you have to use higher pressure ballooning or a specialty balloon to really prep that vessel and open it up. And in this case, you run the risk of spiral dissections, distal embolization, of course, poor responsiveness to ballooning or stenting, and they're also associated with higher mace rates in general. So with the laser, we can, of course, go in and debulk that lesion, and we'll be able to clean it up, and we'll be potentially allowing the physician to balloon at lower pressure and facilitate that precise placement of the stent. Another advantage here is that oftentimes the physician will double wire, well, they will buddy wire up for the osteolesions, and it is not a problem at all for us to laze over the first wire with the buddy wire in place. Long lesions, the last of the seven indications. It is well known that the longer the lesion, the higher the chance of ISR to occur. Again, with the laser going in, we can debulk, we can modify that lesion. We can prep it optimally so that the sizing of the stent is more accurate, and hopefully that allows for better stent apposition and for that drug-eluting stent to work optimally.